being here this morning. I hope he didn't record that. Thank you for being here this morning. Welcome to New Beginnings. This is Discover Who You Are. And if you discover who you are today, it'll make a difference the way you live next week. I'm telling you. Romans 8, 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, in other words, your just normal human mind, is death. You say, well, that's negative. Well, it's real. Okay? And we need to love the Lord and love each other enough to tell the truth. Now, I want to tell you, this message is not about condemnation on anybody. It's not about condemnation on anybody. If you're struggling, okay, look up here. This man's struggling too. I want to tell you, hey, I'm believing God for some healing in some areas of my life. I've got to have some healing to go forward. And so I'm there. But let me tell you something. Hey, what I'm reading and studying about on healing, because it's a coming series this year, what I'm studying and reading about, don't condemn me. It don't condemn me. I'm not reading and studying this stuff and in the Word and saying, well, that's just insensitive to me. No, I'm saying bring it on. Okay, I need it. Whether I understand it or not, whether I line up with it or not, I'm studying it. Because I'm studying him. Okay? And I want to tell you, where are we going to go? Let's go run into him. And so, if you're struggling today, I got compassion for you. Hey, been there, done that. Still there some. And so, I got compassion for you. But in order to move forward, we can't park where we are. We got to look toward the Lord. He's our vision. And so, let's focus on him and let's move forward. Let's study him. And see what he does. Okay? So, the mind of the flesh, the normal human mind, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin here and hereafter. I want to tell you, this death mindset affects you. Okay? It affects you in a number of ways. But, here's good news. And so, if you're looking for good news, here it is. The mind of the Holy Spirit is life. Now, when you receive Christ, you receive the mind of the Spirit. The mind of Christ is in you. It's in your spirit. See, that's where the green is. It's in your spirit. Now, when we're talking about the normal human mind, that's the mind of the soul. Okay, that's your human mind. And so there's a difference. You got the mind of Christ in your spirit. Your human mind operates your soul. And it's what actually turns the... Well, praise Jesus. Okay, that one went to heaven. Ah, there we go. Hey, your mind is the valve. You can operate by the human mind. There it is. It turns off the flow from the Spirit of Christ in you. When you just can operate in the flesh. Or the mind of the flesh, okay? It's just operating like a regular human. You say, well, we're only human. No, you're not. If you know Christ, you're not only human. The Spirit of the living Christ lives in you. Big difference. Carnal-mindedness. So the mind of the Holy Spirit is life to you. It's life to you. Not just in your spirit, but it'd be life in your soul. And it'll also be peace in your soul. Both now and forever. Now, do you think now means today? Thank you for saying that. That means I can move right along. Do you think forever means tomorrow? That's Monday. Is it possible to experience and touch the peace of Jesus on a Monday? Yes, absolutely right. Can you receive the life of the Lord and the peace of Jesus on Tuesday? I think when he says forever, it means forever. I think now means today. Thank you for agreeing with me. Carnal-mindedness doesn't necessarily mean sinful-mindedness. Okay, we usually think of the word carnal and we think, oh, sensual. Well, it can mean sensual. But it also means just normal, like of the five senses. So carnal-mindedness is allowing your mind to be dominated by your five senses. What you can see, taste, hear, smell, feel. You're carnally minded when your thoughts center primarily on the physical realm. Okay? And it's easy to go there. It's normal for us to go there. It's natural for us to go there. We live that way, naturally. A lot of Christians are carnally minded. They operate just like a regular human would. And then on Sunday, they try to think about the Lord. Well, that's you can do that, but I want to tell you that's living carnally minded through the week. Hey, we can receive the mind of the Lord, the spirit flow, love flow of the Lord, the life of the Spirit all throughout the week. As a matter of fact, He's available 24/7. He's right here in you. Even in the natural, though, and this is a natural man kind of faith, the God kind of faith is different, but it's a picture, and I'm trying to encourage you that this is available for you. If you know the Christ, the living Christ, if He's in you, you can live in the Spirit, and you can operate in His peace. Okay? He's qualified you. But even in the natural, we learn to believe in things we cannot see. The radio signals, TV signals, microwaves. It wasn't but just a couple years ago I got to saying wow about the microwave. I mean, you put food in there, you don't have to start a fire. If you put foil in there, it could start a fire. But, you know, you don't have to start a fire. You put it in there, you hit a few buttons, and in a few seconds, man, it heats that stuff up. Now, I did do a reading one time where that Russia, when the first microwave technology came out, the Russians got a hold of it to study to see what we were up to. And they studied it, and they reported upstairs, you know what I mean, upstairs. Their scientists reported upstairs, we don't have to do anything to America. They're going to kill themselves with microwave. And they said, well, what do you mean? They said, it kills their food. It kills all the life in the food. They're going to kill themselves. We don't have to do anything. And so they actually refused the technology for a long time. Now, I think they use it now. But isn't that interesting? But, I mean, microwaves. You go, wow. Hey, what about germs? You can't see germs. But you don't want them, do you? Well, we believe enough in them to do the washing of the hands. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, training the little fellas coming up. They were all American, you know, full-timers. And they'd come up to the table, and I'd tell them, go wash up. And they'd come up to the table, and I'd say, did you wash? They'd say, look, I don't have no dirt. No, boy, it's not the dirt. It's the germs. I don't see anything. No, no. See, you have to train them. And we have to learn to operate in faith. This is what this is all about. Because He will teach us. His faith's in His Word, and He will cause faith to rise up. It's His faith that He gives us in the divine life, and we can operate in His faith. I want to tell you, that's why all things are possible to those that believe. And I'd have to tell the boys now, you know, it's wash up. Wash up doesn't mean just your hands, because, you know, they'd come to the table and they'd say, look, Dad, and they have dirt just all over their face. I'd say, okay, we got to do a little more than that. But it's a training program. And, hey, sign up for the training program. Hey, we operate in a human type of faith by turning on the light switch. You believe the lights are going to come on. But I want to tell you something. There's something deeper and better than that, and it's the Jesus kind of faith. But we can't see these things, but we're aware of them in our lives. And I'm telling you, there's a spiritual world that we cannot see, feel, or taste. But our soul can perceive it through the Word of God. I love that, because that means all of us that know Christ can look in the Word of God, and we can perceive what Jesus has for us. And by faith, you can believe things that you cannot see with your physical eyes or feel them. Spiritual mindedness releases the flow of God's life in you. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a great statement. Really is. That's a great statement. Carnal mindedness shuts it off. Okay? Carnal mindedness, death. Let's say this together. Carnal mindedness is death. Spiritual mindedness is life. Okay, now let's see the word. We're going to repeat it. Let's look back at this word here. Matter of fact, let me just read it. Now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries that are arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life. Do you see that? And soul peace. Anyone want any of that? Well, you have it if you know Christ, but we want to receive it, don't we? Both now and forever. That means today and tomorrow. Death refers to anything that is a result of sin. Okay. And it may not be your sin. So don't start thinking, well, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Well, look, Adam did. And because Adam did, I'm telling you, that's enough. We experience the misery of sin, S-I-N. I didn't even say your sins, but sin. Okay, so it doesn't have to be yours. It very well can be. It can complicate life, your sins, but it's the sin, okay, that we're born with, actually. And so it's not just in the physical body that deterioration takes place, the type of death, slow death takes place in the body, but it also affects the sin of your soul. On your soul, sin has effect. For example, depression, sadness, loneliness, bitterness, illness, anger, poverty. Do you understand? Am I getting there? If I name yours, go ahead and put it in there. But see, we live on this earth. It's a fallen world. And you say, well, you know, Brother Tim, this is nice preaching, but you don't understand where I work. Because my workplace is a war zone. It's Crazyville there. Well, you may call it Confusion Hill. But you don't have to let it dominate you. We work in the world, we live in the world, but the world doesn't have to dominate you. Okay? You can have a Jesus mindset even when you're working or living in the world. You can have a kingdom mindset. I told one lady one time, I said, your desk area needs to be the kingdom of God. All the soap opera that's taking place all around you, okay, you don't have to participate in. You let your desk and your area represent the kingdom of God. And whoever comes into your area, they're going to receive your joy and your peace and your love. And they try to bring that darkness there. Hey, you just take authority over that. You smile and say, no, thank you. And I want to tell you, you be at peace. That's possible because Jesus is present. Okay? But being dominated by your natural senses is going to produce a type of death to you. Spiritual mindedness produces life and peace. And so it's really, who are you trusting in? Okay? You don't have to go to work and live in H-E double toothpicks and then come out and try to seek heaven. Seek heaven while you're at work. He's present. All right? And you say, well, I don't know how to do it. I'm telling you, you have a helper. You're not on your own. You have a helper. It's the Holy Spirit. He teaches you all things. He can teach you how to walk in peace in the middle of H-E double toothpicks. Somebody say amen. Amen. Spiritual mindedness produces life and peace. That's what the Bible says. So there is a battle. And that's what the next series is going to be on, is how to walk in his rest, because his rest, we battle for rest. We work toward rest, but the place of rest is the place of faith. And so it's worth fighting for. We battle for peace. We battle for love and joy, abundant life, walking in the Spirit, healing, provision, success. That he has, all that he has in mind for us is worth fighting for. But our battle is not with the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Our battle is to come to the place of faith, is to come to rest. And in his rest, in the place of faith, in his rest, there's victory. The victory that's in us is manifested. Does that sound good to you? Well, we're going there in the next series. But the battle for your soul, the peace and the joy and love for your soul to operate in, starts right here in the mind. Okay? Starts in the mind. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Now, I'm saying this to you. I want to encourage you with this. Let me say it again. You're not on your own here. Well, Brother Tim, you preach it and then we're out there on our own. No, you're not on your own. Okay? Matter of fact, if you learn it, it's because the Holy Spirit's speaking it to you. Okay? I'm just kind of a voice box, a speaker. All right, but here's the way it is. It is the Spirit who gives life. See, it's not Pastor Tim who does this for you. Pastor Tim's not with you at work or in your Confusion Hill. It may be your home. I hope it's not, but it may be your own. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is. And he's available. It's the Spirit who gives the life. He's the life giver. Somebody say, he's the life giver. And he's with me. Now look, this is why we practice the position of receiving from him. It's not by works. It's practicing the position of receiving. Because I want to tell you, he is the life giver and he wants to give you life. He's not cutting it off from you. This is for you. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. Okay? Every now and then I put someone else in the boat with me fishing. And in the boat fishing, we may talk about fishing some, but let me tell you something. There's no life in fishing. It's getting out there and enjoying the Lord together. There's the life. And so even while we're in the boat together, we're going to enjoy the Lord together because there's the life. And we can have a great time in the Lord whether we catch a fish or not. You understand? Hey, in the flesh there's no benefit whatsoever. There's no profit in it. The words, the truth, here it is. Listen, listen what Jesus is saying. The words, his word. Somebody say his word. His truth. That he is speaking to you, their spirit and life. It's the word of God. Right here. Seeing Jesus in the word, that's what brings life and spirit to you. Okay? That's why that those that are seeking, okay, practice the word. Okay? Hey, look, we've got things available to help you. The class on Sunday mornings. Look, hey, you need life? You need spirit? More word. Is that what Bible's saying? Because in his word, there is spirit and life. You want more spirit, more life operating in your soul and in your body? Yes, Brother Tim, we do. Come to the class on Sunday morning. Get more word. Be here on Sunday morning. Get more word. Hey, come on Wednesday night. Man, Bible study. I think you're studying Solomon next, right? Yeah, and are you going into Proverbs? See, I recommend that. Because I'm telling you, Proverbs is just full of life. We're going through Proverbs right now with the teens. I'm getting more out of it than I ever have. I'm having a blast. They may not. Don't ask them. But I'm having a blast. Okay, it's full of life. Full of wisdom. This is what we're talking about. You receive it from the Lord, and the Lord wants you to have it. His spirit, his life. Okay? But here we go. There's ways and opportunity to do that. Not just in the classes, but having time with God. We can teach you how to do that, how to meditate on the Lord, how to practice and enjoy his presence. We did a series on that last year. Just a couple sermons. I think it's about 20. But I'm telling you, this is important because this is how we receive spirit and life, okay? Spiritual-minded is a result of our thoughts being dominated by the Word. Carnal-minded is a result of our thoughts being dominated by the flesh or by the world. World, Word, big difference, okay? Now, it's a process to touch the Lord. But I want to tell you, he loves it when we seek. There's something powerful when we seek him. And I want to tell you, whatever that process ends up being that helps you touch the Lord, it's worth it. I bet the little lady that was touched by Jesus, she received his touch when she touched him. And I want to tell you, it wasn't convenient for her to do that. But I bet you anything, if we had her here this morning, was interviewing her, I bet she'd say, it was worth it because she got touched. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to touch you. And he wants you to seek. Okay? And so it puts our heart, the process brings progress. The process of seeking the Lord brings the progress in the Lord. It's not by works, it's getting your heart in a position to receive. Okay, going from carnal to spiritual. Hey, it puts our heart in a position to receive. Anybody want to receive? So no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the soap opera says, no matter what your checkbook is saying, God can and God wants to keep you in perfect peace. That's God's heart. Okay. Isaiah 26:3, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now part of staying your mind on the Lord is learning how to meditate on the Lord. I'm probably going to do a short series this year about how to meditate because I'm finding out that there are people that don't know how to meditate on the Lord. It's a very simple operation. I'll probably only take a couple of sermons to get it done. But I'm here to tell you it's important to keep your mind on the Lord. This is how to meditate on the Lord. Because He commits Himself to you because you're in a place of surrender and submission. Okay? It's not just getting something for God so you can go on with your life. It's coming to the Lord wholeheartedly in submission and surrender because we commit ourselves to Him. See, the U is capital Y. It's to the Lord. And we lean on, we trust in Him. And we put our hope confidently in Him. Okay? So, this is exercises faith toward Him. It's more than just a quick prayer, Lord, help. It's a seeking of Him with your heart. And the more your mind stays on Him, the more your soul agrees with your spirit. Okay? And God's peace is released from your spirit into your soul and your body. Well, it sounds simple. It's not always simple because it means battle. But your born-again spirit is always in perfect peace. There's perfect peace here. Okay? It's not doing something to get it. It's putting our heart in a position to receive it. It's a matter of drawing it out because it's here. There's more peace on the inside of you than you could ever use because it's the peace of Jesus. And so it's drawing it out. It's learning how to receive it. So the word says consider. Now, that's a good word for meditating. It's to think on, to think about, to meditate on. And so we ask and we pray. We seek wisdom. It's okay to seek wisdom. Look, I talked to these pastors this morning. I'm trying to get them to go through some material. We didn't quite make it this round. We'll get it next round. But the next month's meeting with these pastors is very, very serious to me because it's determining direction for our church. Okay? I'm committed to moving forward, and I'm committing to whatever it takes to move forward. Okay? Now, that probably means that I'm going to have to change. But you know what? Jesus is worth it. And so I say whatever it takes because He's worth it. All right? But here's the deal. I'm going to seek their counsel. I'm going to seek their wisdom. We're going to pray and ask God for a plan of action. But here's the concerning thing. We cannot, and you cannot either, let the problem be the entire focus. You got a problem? We do too. But I want to tell you something. We dare not put our focus on the problem. Now look, it's okay. I've already told them and prepared them. Now look, this particular meeting, because we speak faith, we talk faith, we believe in saying what God's saying, what God's doing, but there's sometimes in a position of counsel where we practice openness and honesty, and I just tell them, we're going to have to hear it. We've got to be free to share it, whatever we think the Lord's saying, whatever it's doing, whatever seems to be yay or nay. I need to hear yay or nay. And so it's going to be that kind of a meeting, and you're not invited. Because I want them to put it out there on top of the table. It's going to be kind of a brainstorm type thing. So it's all right to get counsel, and it's all right to get advice, and it's good to have a plan of action. The Bible says the preparation of the mind belongs to man, but the answer comes from the Lord, Proverbs 16:1. The answer comes from the Lord. So you know what? I'm going to get their counsel. You speak it out, you know, lose weight, pastor, grow the church, you know, whatever it is. The Lord's worth it. And so, boy, they're going to put it out there. But I want to tell you, when it comes down to it, you know what we got to do? Got to take all those ideas and thoughts and feelings, and we got to lay them at His feet. And we got to receive the answer from the Lord. Sometimes the answer from the Lord is not complicated. Sometimes it's pretty simple. I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like love, because He's all about loving on people. And we want to love on more people, don't you? Thank you for agreeing with me. But see, you know, we receive what He says, and then we faith it. I didn't say fake it, because some believers out there do that. I'm not talking about faking it. I said faith it, where we operate on what He says, even if we don't completely understand it. We just do what He says. And you know what? He does what He wants. But when your mind is fixed on the problems, your peace is limited by what we think. All right? Look, I get the valve back out because it's closed when you focus on the problems. You can visit there, but don't focus on them. Don't stay there. The lack of peace in our life is not because of circumstances or people. You say, well, you don't know who I work with. No, but Jesus does. Okay? Because our mind is not based on circumstances or people. It's because our mind is dominated by what we see, taste, hear, smell, feel. When this happens, I want to tell you what happens when we focus on the problem. You've heard me teach on the imagination room, Trinity. You remember that? When I've talked about the imagination room, I didn't even butcher on that one. I love her. The imagination room, let me tell you what happens. God gave you an imagination room. And so I want to tell you, whatever you put in this computer, the imagination room will magnify. Back up. Back up. Watch out. When you're focused on a problem, you know what happens when that computer gets a hold of that problem? What happens in the imagination room? Magnified. It's doing what it was created to do. Okay? And so it's magnified. Now, the potential danger is magnified. The problems are magnified. Negative opinions line up like in a bunch of attorneys and build a case against you. I've had that. You have too. But at that very time, listen, God's more than enough peace is present in our spirit. And so peace needs to be drawn out. Okay? It needs to be received. We got to practice opening the valve. You say, well, Brother Tim, what do you mean open the valve? Well, I want to tell you, it may be a private and personal victory to you, but I want to tell you, it's publicly celebrated in heaven. Because you bring Him honor and glory when you receive. When you receive His goodness. Because His goodness is not just for you. I'm telling you, that private, personal battle, when you receive the peace of God, it's not just for you. Heaven celebrating, but other people benefit from your personal victories. And you don't have to rent a billboard for it to happen. Okay? Because sometimes it's more caught than taught by other people. But it's very, very real. His goodness is for you and others. Now look, I can't teach on it today. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to teach on it before I close up this series. And it's called the Being Spirit-Filled. Being baptized in His Spirit, overwhelmed by His Spirit, being Spirit-filled. Because I want to tell you, this is one of the ways that the Word of God talks about that when you're filled with the Spirit, overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, comes from here, here, is turned on, affects the soul and the body when you're Spirit-filled. And sometimes there's not one feeling that goes with it. But I want to tell you, the results are powerful. Okay? Now look. Man, that's Word. That's what He told us to do. Continue to practice being filled with the Spirit. You say, well, I've received a baptism. Well, let's seek deeper ones. Okay? Don't park there. You see, there's a number of exercises that He gives us. Meditating on the Word, practice being filled with the Spirit, praise and thanksgiving. Bring us into His active presence, His manifested presence. Okay? And so there's thanksgiving with prayer. Hey, it's taking authority over the junk, rebuking the mountains and the fig trees. That's part of it. Confessing the Word, like Pastor Tony shows us, and it's in your bulletin every week, to go through and confess that Word. See, it helps renew the mind. Helps you touch the Lord. Okay? Without practicing this, we live like lost people. Just trapped in the carnal world. And it's either by choice or by ignorance. Both of them. Let's look at Ephesians 4:17. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen. Now let's see what he's talking about. Shall no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do, in their perverseness. and the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futilities of their minds. And so I want to tell you what he's saying. Matter of fact, Young's literal translation, you like that one? I tell you, I like that one. Young's literal translation. This is what he says. Do not walk as others walk by their vain minds, by their carnal minds. Do you understand? He's saying that it's possible for Christians to live just like the people that don't know God live. Where in their minds, they just operate in the carnal flesh. The perverseness, the vanity, emptiness of their souls, here in their minds. They operate just like a person that doesn't know God. They don't tune in to the Spirit. They don't receive from the Lord. They just operate in the carnal. That's possible. And he's saying, do not do this. You must no longer live this way. It's possible for you to do it, but don't do it. There's no life there. It's death there. Do you see this? Is this clear? It talks about the Gentiles. It's not being a race. It's a term that they used, the heathen, that was someone who did not have a covenant with God, or they didn't have any relationship with God. Unbelievers don't use their minds to pursue or perceive spiritual truth. And it's possible for a believer to not do that. I hope I made that clear, did I? We can live like unbelievers, but we shouldn't. And we don't have to, because we have life in us. Wow. Choose life. God said choose life. Verse 18. Look what happens. Their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. Okay? Hey, it's like a cloud comes over. Okay? Their understanding's darkened. I want to tell you, this is how you can explain that at one time you knew some believers who really had a walk with God. They walked in such peace and such anointing and sweetness with the Lord. And you meet them years later, and boy, it's nothing there. No life. Dark. They took a turn. Why? Well, it started out right here in the mind. Okay? They begin to turn off the valve as a way of life. They begin to operate like a normal human, like someone who doesn't have a relationship with God. And in a process of time, we're either progressing or regressing. We think there's a neutral. There's really not. We're either progressing or regressing. And I want to tell you, they put it in reverse, and their moral understanding becomes darkened, their reasoning beclouded. Look at this. They're alienated, estranged, and self-banished. You say, well, God did this to them? No, no, no. Self-banished. Now, if someone were to self-banish themselves from the building, it doesn't mean they were escorted out. They escorted them own selves, their own selves out. Okay, do you understand? Hey, look, when you were born saying no to God. Okay. Self-banished from the flow of life, from the life of God. All right, do you see that? Because of why? Because of their ignorance. Their want of knowledge. Now, want of knowledge doesn't mean that they were hungry for knowledge. It's like 23rd Psalm, I shall not want. In other words, lack. Okay? And so what they're saying here is the lack of knowledge. You see that? And perception, the willful blindness. Do you see willful blindness? Isn't it amazing how the Greek brings out such description? Hey, willful blindness means that they put their own... I started to say sun blockers. What am I talking about? The blinders on. They put their own blinders on. Somebody didn't tie them down. They did it. And it's deep-seated in them due to the hardness of their heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Now, I want to tell you what happens here. When you don't operate with the flow of the Spirit, you become more insensitive to God. Okay? I'm telling you. When you operate in the flow of the Spirit, you become more sensitive to God. And so it's a good question. You know, how's your heart today? Sensitive or insensitive? If you don't practice renewing your mind, and this is using your chooser, by seeing Jesus in the Word, just like we've talked about, by meditating on God's Word, you will automatically, I guess I should say, naturally gravitate to living by the five senses, because that's where you lived before Christ. And so if you don't have the flow and the life of the Spirit, then you will automatically flow toward the carnal. It drags you. It draws you. It darkens your understanding. And understanding is the application of knowledge. It's important. You remember me telling you this. Knowledge is like getting food and putting it in the mouth. Now, I was enjoying my little granddaughter in Austin not too long ago, and we were eating some rice and other things, but she was having a blast with the rice. And so what she would do, she had a little trouble getting it on her spoon because she's only 14, 15 months old. And she was having a little trouble getting it on her spoon, so she got a little frustrated, and she grabbed rice with this hand and put it on the spoon with this one. Okay, you understand? But I want to tell you something. I could not help but think of this, see, because that's what knowledge does, is help get the food in your mouth. Understanding is the chewing and the swallowing. I found myself telling her, chew, chew, chew. You know, it's a learning process. Food in mouth. Chew, chew, chew. All right, that's understanding. And you know what? When the nutrients get into the body, become a part of the body, that's where the wisdom is. Same thing. Hey, knowledge is the key. All right, understanding is the unlocking of the door. Wisdom's entering into a new room, and God has a lot of new room for you. He says that he has a path for you. He's created a path for you. Okay? Your steps. He'll order your steps. Isn't that good news? So the knowledge of God is critical. And it's not just facts. It's knowing him. Knowledge of God's critical, but we've got to have an understanding about how to apply it, and that comes wisdom. It shows us God's way. How to receive life and walk in life. Okay, believers that walk like an unbeliever get the same results. And that's death. It's not good. Okay, we've only got a few years here. Let's enjoy all the life of God that's available to us. Okay, without understanding and application of the word, we gravitate toward carnal mindedness. This is why we emphasize the word so much. Without spiritual knowledge and understanding, there is no wisdom. Okay, the mind can't be renewed. The life of God in your spirit's not released if you don't practice renewing your mind. That's getting in the Word. That's why this revelation that we're sharing about who you are in Christ will set you free, man, to walk in life and peace if you grab it. When a believer's understanding is darkened, look what happens. Verse 18. Their moral understanding is darkened. Their reasoning's beclouded. They're alienated. Okay, hey, look, probably over the years we've had thousands of people come to church and leave. Okay, well, except for about two people over all the years I recommended to leave. You understand what I'm saying? I encouraged them to get on out the door. Besides two people that were causing disruption in the body, disturbance to the body, that I encouraged to leave, of all the other thousands, hey, they left themselves. Some of them self-banished and quit on God. Now look, I don't believe in calling names, but we've had staff members. Am I right? We've had staff members leave in the past that quit on God, quit going to church. Well, that's saying something here. Alienated, self-banished from the life of God. Because of their ignorance, their lack of knowledge and perception, or their willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to the hardness of their heart. Their heart gets harder. They become insensitive to God. The life of God's still there, but they're self-banished from the life of God. They're not walking in the life of God due to the ignorance in their own mind. They've turned the valve. Ignorance of spiritual truth separates you from the abundant life of God for you. That's why we emphasize this so much. 1 Peter 2:24, I've got to cover this example with you. He personally, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree as an altar and offered himself on it that we might die, cease to exist to sin. In other words, he saved us from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. Sin is not to have rule or power over us. Okay? And that we're free to live to righteousness. Wow, that's great. We're free to live to righteousness. And it says, by his wounds you have been healed. Now look, this is great truth. But let me just use as an example about this, okay? I'm going to try to do like what Paul talked about. I'm trying to talk to you in a way that you might understand and use an example here that I wouldn't normally say. But God's word declares that by his stripes you were healed. Did it say were, have been? Is that past tense? So in other words, when he received the stripes, your healing was paid for now? Okay. So you ask yourself, I'm just going to use myself as an example. So am I healed? Yes, in position. Now, allow me, word people, to use a little example. Well, wait, I still feel some pain. I'm emotionally just drained. And, you know, I'm having trouble with some thoughts. I've been waking up angry at night. Well, so what's wrong? What's going on here? Okay. I know God says I'm healed, but wait. Example. Don't get on to me yet. Example, I'm obviously not because I still feel bad. I feel sick. I must not be healed. Now, I want to tell you, at this point, I'm voting. Okay? Pastor James understands this word, and he's taught us. I'm voting. I'm going to either vote for what God's word says about me, or I'm going to vote what the world says about me, or what the carnal, the regular mind says about me. Because the regular mind says, I don't feel good. I'm hurting, and I'm drained, and I'm tarred. And so I cast a vote when I say, well, I'm just not healed. I've got some facts to back it up. Now remember, there's a difference between a feeling and even a fact and the truth. Because the truth is a greater reality. Okay? Now, what I'm voting is that, am I going to vote for my five senses to dominate me more than God's word? Okay? Now look, I have symptoms, but my symptoms are not the truth. They may be a feeling, they may be a fact, but they're not the truth. Do you understand? There's a greater truth. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can heal my feelings. It's a good time to say amen. The power that raised Jesus from the dead can heal my pains. Can heal what make right whatever's wrong. Resurrection power. More than enough. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. Now, what I'm saying when I vote is that I don't believe it. Okay? Now look. I was on TV, first time I was ever on TV with Dr. Whitaker. Man, he laid into me in the green room. He came in saying, hey, you know, health, life of the body's in the blood. And he looked at me and he said, you don't believe it. And I said, yeah, I do believe it. He said, no, you don't believe it, because if you believed it, you would be making right choices. I said, I repent. And he said, I'm yours. And for years, he treated me for free because he honored repentance. Because this is what he showed me, is that if you really believe it, see, hey, we practice daily what we believe. Everything else is something we think or it's religious talk. We practice daily what we believe. Everything else is religious talk. So look. I'm saying, well, I voted for the five senses or the facts or the feeling over this. At this very point in time, even though I have some knowledge, I don't have the understanding. I have some knowledge of the word, but I don't have the understanding. I don't have the wisdom, the revelation to apply it. And so I vote no. You understand how that works? And so I'm telling you, this is why we renew the mind, till we come to the place that we believe the truth of the Word of God over what facts are in the world or what feelings are in the world. And when we come to the place where we are more dominated by this than we are the Word of God, than we are the world, then that's when we receive. Our soul then votes with the Spirit. And the body just tags along. Because that's what it does. It tags along. Okay? Now. Wow. Wow. This series got one sermon longer. I'm not going to preach on this series on Resurrection Day. I'm working on a short sermon for Resurrection Day. You bring people. But the answer is having your eyes of your heart flooded with light. That's what Ephesians 1:18 says, and I'm going to start there next week. But it goes like this. I'll tell you a little story. This dentist years ago that I used to go to, I witnessed to him before I ever got in a seat. You know, it's probably important before they pick up something sharp to talk to him about Jesus, okay? And so I witnessed to him, and he said, "Hey, I'm a believer." He said, "Not only am I a believer, I was a preacher's kid." And I said, "Well, that's great." He said, "I love having a pastor in here." He said, "Matter of fact, you got a 20% discount from now on." I said, "I'm glad." It was a great witness and opportunity. But I want to tell you something. The deal is that he gave me some of that gas. I don't know what it's called. Laughing gas. I did get funnier, I think. Nitrous oxide. I tried to get some for my wife one time to take home, but they wouldn't let me. But I want to tell you, I put that on. He had that on me, and he come in to check on me a little later, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I think I left that on a little bit too long. How you doing?" I said, "I'm fine." I said, "Do whatever you want to do." And so he pulled the light down there on my eyes. You know, that's a bright light. They put it on me, and he said, "How many fingers do you see?" I said, "I can't see anything but light." And in my happy state, the Spirit of the Lord ministered to me this verse. Because when your eyes are flooded with the light, and Jesus is the light, you're soaking up and saturating in this word, and all you can see is Jesus, then I want to tell you something. There's a lot of good things that happen. A lot of bad things get weak and get quiet. And a lot of good things are the result of. That's how we battle, is by making sure that our eyes are flooded with the light. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. And we see him in the Word of God. And I want to tell you, when we do that, well, we'll start there next week. But that's what happens when we get flooded with the light. And so that's what we're encouraging you to do. It's something all of us can do. And so it's a great prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to take just a few minutes to pray for people. And if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, this is a great day for your eyes to be flooded with the light. A lot of things happen when you come to Christ. Okay, you get to see him as he is. You give your heart to him. He forgives you of all your sins. It's something that's already done and paid for. He's waiting for you to receive it. You surrender yourself, your heart to him. He forgives you. You're forgiven. And he gives you the gift of eternal life. And he gives you the gift of abundant life. I want to tell you, it's life. Amen. Now, I can say this to you. I witnessed to a guy at the mechanic store the other day. It's called Rick's now. It used to be Reed's. The guy's there is Reese, the manager now. I don't know if you know him. Do you know Reese? Okay. I witnessed to him. And I'd gotten convicted that morning that, you know what, I talked to people about Jesus, but I need to come to the place and the question, have you accepted Christ? And so, man, I was already gunned up and ready to go, hoping the Lord to give me. And sure enough, you know, you're expecting and you're fishing, you get a bite. And sure enough, I went in there talking about Jesus, and he bit on the hook. And so, man, I shared with him about the Lord, and I brought him to the place. I said, "Look, have you ever given Jesus Christ your heart?" And he said, "Yes, I have. And the day I did that, my life turned upward, and it hasn't ever changed." I said, "Bubba, that's a good testimony." Amen. I said, "I believe you're for real." He said, "I know it's real in my life." And I said, "Well, come Resurrection Sunday." And so he very well may. Supervisor and his family. But I'm here to tell you something. Jesus makes a difference. It's an eternal difference, and it's a life difference, because Jesus is life. Whatever you are, I can tell people, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're walking in death. The Bible says that. You're walking in darkness and death. You say, well, my life's pretty good. Well, it'll be a whole lot better, because he came that we might have a better life, abundant life. I love him, don't you? And so this morning, why don't you come for prayer, come for ministry? I'll tell you what, I have a little discernment. And I can see on a couple of people. See, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I can see on a couple of people that you are struggling in your heart. There's a storm going on. Some of you have been disappointed. You're disappointed. You're disappointed in people, but you're also disappointed in God, because you feel like the Lord has let you down. And I want to tell you, when you put your hope in the Lord and not on people, you don't set yourself up to be offended. Amen. You put your heart on people and not the Lord, you will be offended. Yeah. But I want to tell you, Jesus has set you free today. I know who you are. I think the Lord has shown me. You come forward for prayer today, I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, he'll set you free. You don't have to walk under this heavy thing, this burden thing. There's a burden thing on you, and it weighs way too much, because he didn't design you to carry it. He said, bring that junk to me, and I'll give you rest. So come up. These people are going to help us pray. Y'all come up and help us pray. And I want to tell you, the people standing up here are not perfect people. They're none of us perfect. But you know what? We're going to believe the Lord, and we're going to pray God's word over you. And you know what? We believe. Jesus sets people free. And he cares about your burden. Hey, he died for you. He cares about your life. And so come to Jesus. Come for prayer. It's healthy to come and ask for prayer. So you come. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's let some people here need to make a commitment that I'm choosing life, and I'm choosing to see Jesus in the Word. I'm committed to having my mind renewed. You say, well, I don't even know how to do that. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He's your teacher. He's with you. You're not on your own. He is your helper, and he'll show you how to receive Spirit in life, God's goodness in your life. Well, I'm praying for you. You come for prayer this morning. We'll take a few minutes. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we release your presence to be manifested to the hearts of your people. Lord, I thank you that light is in this room. I pray in the name of Jesus that the eyes of the heart will be open, that we will see the light of Jesus and see who you are, Lord. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And we call forth hearts to respond to the Lord. We thank you for great drawing grace. And we say yes to you, Lord. This day we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Come for prayer.